This is a HeadGum Original.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What's going on?
You've been laundering money, dude.
I knew nothing about this.
When a crime family wants a witness dead...
They can't go into one of our regular safe houses.
There's only one person who can keep them safe.
That's a flat-out no, and I'm not changing my mind.
$4,000 a month.
It would be the greatest Christianity thing I could do to help somebody in need.
I got soul!
Where your family?
They're sleeping still.
They got to get out! If I come back after you stealing this bed, I'm gonna get completely naked and get up in there with you and spoon.
I'm up.
On June 29th,
we can get this money back.
Finna go up to New York.
You look like a big bottle of Pepto Bismol.
Madea's going further.
Just gonna do a quick pat down.
You gonna find a roadmap to heaven. You better come on from up there now.
Than ever before.
I'm in New York.
Madea's witness protection.
How you doing?
You're chocolate.
That's in the way of saying black. I'm chocolate. Yes, African American.
Rated PG-13. In theaters June 29th.
Okay, this is the 12th episode of our third season of Newcomers. We're working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work for the first time with the help of Perry scholars, superfans, and sometimes people who've contributed. This season is 15 episodes, so there's literally no way we can get to everything. Just no way. It's too much.
We would literally be doing this for 24 hours a day. So we would be. It would take us much longer than the combination of time it's taken Tyler Perry to make all of these things to watch all of them. Today we can say that we have experienced another film within the Madea cinematic universe. It's Madea's Witness Protection from 2012, and we'll be watching more movies and TV shows in the weeks to come. Before we jump into that, any final thoughts on the Ruthless pilot from last week that we watched?
I still stand by it was not as exciting as, say, The Oval or the other Madea movies we've watched. But I did watch a second episode to see who the the high one
when
was.
You sent me the picture, the head of the cult. It was so disappointing. You were like, he lives in a world market. Like, it was like...
It was truly like they went to World Market and they were like, we're not going to buy this stuff. We just want to shoot in World Market, please. Oh, it made me laugh so hard.
I don't want to watch that show ever again, but I do. Oh, yeah. The Highest is what
the
it's
highest,
called.
Yes.
I do need to watch The Oval. And I know you're watching The Oval and I'm really jealous. You posted in your Instagram story that there was a beheading on The Oval, which is psychotic.
There was an unsolved beheading. The first daughter throws herself out of a moving car that's going 2 miles an hour. And then the first lady goes, this bitch really jumped out of that car. This dumb bitch really jumped out of the car. And I was like, that's your response to your daughter jumping out of a moving car?
The first lady is so evil.
It's perfect. I love it so much. And then the way they clean up this beheading, they flip the mattress. And I was like, that's not it. You can't do that. You got to get a brand new mattress.
Well, because comes in and it's like the woman from the pilot, right? That he's like, she's like, your whore is here.
Yes.
And he's like, they said I get a plus one. And then her head is just sitting in the bed and he picks it up. Like, What? Why did he pick it up? Like, did he think it was connected to her body and he was going to, like, hold her? Like, what was happening?
He thought he was going to kiss her. And I guess in the world that we've created, like, you pick people up to kiss. But he, like, picks her up and he's like, no! And then blood squirts out everywhere. He's covered in blood. And then Kyle, who's trying to become, like, the head of the Secret Service, I guess, he comes in. He's like, I'll clean this up. What did you take? And he's like, some Molly. And then he throws away this huge plate of cocaine and, I guess, Molly. And I was like, you got to save that for another time. And then the president is walking like a zombie because he picked up a dead woman's head, and then they toss her head in this laundry basket. And I was like, Tyler, you what?
But see, this is what pisses me off, because I knew that happened in The Oval from your stories. And then I was excited for this movie, and this movie just does not deliver in any of those ways, which we've been getting used to how crazy all of these movies are and shows. So, well, before we get into it, so Madea's Witness Protection is available on HBO Max. You can record it on Philo, and you can also watch it for a fee on Apple TV, Google Pay, and Vudu. Obviously, we're going to spoil it, so, you know, watch it first if you care about that. But I think we are both disappointed by Madea's Witness Protection. And we've been loving everything. So I'm really excited to talk to our guest, because I want to hear what he thinks about this. We have been so into this season so far, and I was like, I was feeling pretty excited to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. And my friend even was like, oh, that's a good one. And I don't know how I feel. That's
I don't know.
That's Big Dipper saying he liked this one.
We can't trust Dipper. Like, him saying that this is good, I truly now am questioning anytime he said anything has been good.
Well, his taste is questionable, which I would love to discuss with him at a further point. He likes to watch bad stuff too. So, I mean, he fits right in. But let's bring our guest out. I want to hear what our guest thinks about this show. We're so excited. It's Langston Kerman. Langston is a comedian, writer, actor who has appeared on series including Insecure and Southside. He currently hosts the podcast My Mama Told Me for Big Money Players Network and iHeartRadio. So welcome, Langston.
All right. This is exciting.
Yes, Langston, thank you so much for being here. Let's get into it. Have you watched any Tyler Perry before?
I had, and I actually vowed never to do it again up until you all forced me to. I'll go so far as to say force me to for this
forced,
podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had made a firm stance in my life that, like, I'm going to get that toxic man out of here. And then y'all were like, nope, you're going to do it for a bit, a long running bit that we're doing over the course of a season.
So wait, what had you seen before, if you remember?
I believe my last straw was Daddy's Little Girls. I think that's where I finally put my foot down. I was like, if this is the best he can do, I'm out.
We kind of like that one.
Yeah, we like that one.
I was going to say, I think it's actually his most, I think at least critically acclaimed film. It certainly is the one that I think stands on the firmest ground as far as being considered a film.
Yes, that's true. That is true. I think that's true. But I also think that movie had, like, a lot of weird, like, there's always, like, a surprise rape, or that wasn't a rape, or, you know, accusation. Like, that one was our first, like, you dip into that sort of thing. I feel like from that point on,
very dramatic. No ha-ha funnies. No tee-hee.
Yeah.
There were, like,
it went
two
from
laughs.
Idris Elba in a tank top to Idris Elba in a very serious tank top. And that's the shift that Tyler Perry sort of creates in his universe.
So had you seen this Witness Protection movie before?
I had not. I was not going to see it. I, in fact, was devastated to find out how many people consented to be a part of this project.
What are your initial thoughts on Madea Witness Protection?
I think there's a part of me that wants to believe he tried his best, and then I know that's not true. You know what I mean? Like, I know he didn't put his best foot forward. I was excited that Romeo Miller is finally getting his just due. It was heartbreaking to see what at what point Eugene Levy had sort of sunk to in his career.
That was so confusing to me because I thought Eugene Levy would definitely elevate this movie, whatever it was going to be. I was like, it'll be really funny when he's doing his thing. And him interacting with Madea, I thought would be funny. We tend to like Madea on this show. But but I was like, I feel like he didn't even get a chance. Even in the bloopers, I was like, there's not enough silliness happening. There's no time. There's no, it doesn't feel like there's like the freedom to play really. It felt like, you know, one thing we've learned by doing this show is that like Tyler Perry works extremely fast. Like
so fast.
Shooting full movies in 8 days. Like
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
If you blink, he has made a full series of television.
Which is insane. A full movie in 8 days. You all have been in plenty of films. You know that films are months at a time it takes to shoot an entire film. And he's doing it in 8 days.
And he did Acrimony in 8 days. And that one is like, there's wild shit that happens. It's not just people talking at a table. It's like
shit.
Everything is nuts. And it's, 8 days? So then you're just thinking like the amount of pressure everyone's under, the amount of time constraints, like you don't get the time to... Even we're, you know, we've talked about how we feel like the hair could be better. Like there's all these things where we're like, wait, why is that wig so bad? It's like, this is like a high budget. Like what's happening? And then you're like, well, they're doing it in 8 days. Like go, go, go. So like nobody has a chance to like be their best, you know, like the hair department, the makeup department, everyone's rushing.
Well, here's what I'll say is that this, and remember this is 2012. So this was before he figured out that he could expedite things even faster than he currently is doing. This was him taking his time with a project. That's fucking nuts.
Well, I will say, we have some trivia, and one of the trivia facts is, this is one of the few Madea movies not adapted from a play, which I was like, oh, he didn't get to test run the material before he shot it.
That's
so
huge.
it was just like, who knows what this will be?
That feels really important, actually, because the plot was really lacking.
Like, yes. And then at the end, they showed you a scene from Ghost and they're like, this is what we're doing. And I was like, oh, I don't know if we needed. Just do it.
I think we know the movie. I think we're all familiar with Ghost.
Like, I felt like the whole thing with the witness protection, like, they don't have any experience. Like, nothing happens at the house that is, like being undercover or, you know, hiding from the law, whatever it is. Like, nothing happens besides, like, just, like, weird yoga and, like, I don't know. Like, even when they go to do the scam or whatever at the end, like, when Eugene Levy has that costume on, I'm like, I thought that was going to happen earlier. Like there'd be more stuff like that or something.
More hijinks.
He really put a lot of stock in black people and white people figuring each other out for 2 hours.
And then
comedy does not come. Like, it's like, it seems like right off the bat, that's kind of like, okay, Madea's like, they're white. And then like nothing happens from them.
Yeah.
Well, Barbara, the mom keeps calling them colored.
Well, and that was just
what was she saying? Negro. She kept saying Negro.
Yeah, Negroes.
And then she'd be like spiritual. And then they go, okay, she's talking about the church.
That was another thing that bugged me quite a bit was he clearly had some bits in his head, right? Where he's like, okay, we'll have her say Negro, but she'll be referring to the spirituals. And then he would do that bit for a solid 3.5 minutes.
Yes.
And it's like, dog, you landed that plane, baby. Let them get off. You ain't gotta keep them on to keep letting the flight attendant talk to them more. Like, give them off the fucking plane.
Yeah, I agree. The bits went on for too long. They weren't funny enough. And then I felt like it was a lot of like rehashing, like Madea driving crazy. We all know Madea drives crazy, and it wasn't crazy enough for me.
No.
And then I didn't really like Lil Romeo's storyline.
No, me neither.
Okay,
it wasn't enough.
He took the church's money. I don't care about that.
The stakes were not there.
No.
And like with the other Madea movies we've seen, the stuff that happens is so crazy that like, you can't have like a more chill version of Madea where like it's nothing really happening. You need her to be doing crazy shit the entire time. And the funniest thing to me was like a blooper where Madea was like dancing on the porch. I don't know if you saw that at the end because
I watched all the way to the end. I was worried that this would come up and I didn't want anybody to bring up some shit I wasn't familiar with. So I watched through the fucking thing. The credits.
Okay, so the part where Madea's tits were bouncing around on the front porch was funny to me, but I was like, but this wasn't in the movie.
It wasn't, and it was like, give me that. Give me Madea moving her titties around. Give me Madea crashing through buildings, dropping cars, yelling at people. We didn't have any of that. Although, it was funny when she was driving away from her nosy neighbor and closed her dress in the door and drove away like that. I was like, they had no time to reshoot it.
Oh, they had time. They had plenty of time. They opted against it, but they had time.
Yeah, you never know what is like the choice at that point. Like if Tyler Perry, the director, is going like, that's a mistake, but we'll keep it because we don't want to move on. Or like he actually thinks that was very funny.
Well,
I don't know.
I think one of the things, and we were briefly talking about this, is that it's mostly just him picking people to do improv with, but not allow them to improv back.
Yes.
It's like him just, okay, you'll be my setup and I'll be both setup and punchline somehow. Like you're just a face to bounce off of. So you picked Eugene Levy, but you didn't mean for it to be Eugene Levy. You just meant for it to be a dorky white guy. And it just so happened that Eugene Levy was in a bad place enough in his life that he consented to be a part of this thing.
Well, I wondered about that because, I mean, it seems, you know, Nicole and I both want to be in a Madea feature at
so
this point.
So bad.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's, it so bad. Seems like it would be really fun. But I'm like, what is Eugene Levy's perspective at that point? Like, he's totally established. It's 2012. Mm-hmm. It's like he can do whatever he wants. So like, there must have been some, I mean, I'm sure money, obviously, but like there must have been some incentive in terms of just like thinking it would be funny or good, right? Or that, like,
well,
I don't know.
I feel like if Tyler Perry asks you to be in a movie, you say yes. Like, I would just say yes, no matter what it was.
Wow. This is a very different response than I think I would have.
We have been brainwashed.
Wait,
I don't know,
Langston,
if
Tyler Perry reached out, Langston, and was like, I want you to star in Daddy's New Girls, you would say no?
Wait, so Daddy's replaced his old girls. He's tired of those old bitches, and now he's getting a new set of girls to raise. Okay.
You wouldn't do it?
You would do it.
I would say, sir, you have some things that you're wrestling with in your own personal life, and you need to put down that pen and call your family. That's what I would say to Tyler Perry. Now, I'm not going to out you, not on this forum, but I will say, call your family, Tyler, and get off my phone. Leave me be.
I mean, you do have to wonder because we've seen, you know, there's so much domestic violence. There's so much crazy stuff in these movies and shows. Like, something's happening. Like, it's his first instinct is that like a woman gets hit and then she punches back. But it's like there's something happening there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Out of context, this will sound terrible. So hopefully no one just, you know, takes this little tidbit. I miss the domestic violence, the kidnaps and the abuse.
In this movie, we are lacking all of this.
If you guys don't put this on your websites, I don't know what you even recorded this for. This is fantastic. Just a nice quote.
Denise Richards is like one of my favorite housewives. I don't know if either of you have watched Housewives at all. She is fantastic on the show. She has a full-on sexual affair with Brandy Glanville in this season where she is accused of eating Brandy's pussy. And she does not say whether she denies it, but it seems like it really happened.
There's
contextual proof. She's a fascinating person on the show. I think she's like stunning. And I also think like
beautiful.
She's a great mom. She's you see her kids on the show and she's like really sweet. I think she's a great person. This movie was not the right movie for her. I love to watch her, but I wanted something funnier happening and it just was not there.
Yeah,
it wasn't there. And then she does an impression of Madea and I was like, feel good.
I didn't feel good about that at all.
I'll say this. There was a part of me that wondered, is this just 2012 shit that like, we used to think was a funnier bit, and now in retrospect, we're like, nah, not really. But 2012 ain't far enough away that I feel confident in sitting in that. You know what I mean?
I agree, and I felt like if anything, she should have gone way harder. Like, it was like, if you're going to do it, and Medea's telling you to do it, and there's all this stuff, it's like, it felt like it was kind of a half impression.
Yeah. Like, I don't
know. And
then
that makes
trouble.
It awkward. Yeah, it was just weird. So, I mean, I wouldn't say to do it now, but if it was one of those 2012
Denise, if you're listening, please do an Instagram video of you doing an impression of Madea.
Yeah, it's like if she would have done wild things and only pulled one titty out. You know what I mean? Like, you got to give us both titties, Denise.
I bring up wild things all the time because you see Kevin Bacon's dick in it. And I was in like eighth grade and I was like, oh my God. And it's truly, it stuck with me so much. I barely remember her tits. I was so focused on that.
Not me. Burned in permanently.
Should we get into our news media? News
yes.
media? Tyler Perry film production transforms downtown Macon, Georgia into 1950s Chicago.
Oh.
And he could just shoot in Chicago. Okay.
Film crews are taking
over downtown Macon this week for Tyler Perry. This week, where Tyler Perry is going to shoot his whole passion project. Netflix's A Jazz Man's Blues. During the filming, the area will be closed off to the public. The film is scheduled to be released on Netflix later this year.
Holy shit.
The turnaround is unmatched. Wild.
Imagine shooting an entire period piece in an hour and a half. Just... costumes, sets, everything's covered in an hour and fucking 45 minutes.
And then you just upload it?
Yeah, you just truly upload it to Netflix.
He's like, upload to Netflix, click.
It will complete shooting and post-production, everything. Post, pre-production, shooting it, less than 6 months for a full-blown movie.
That's unreal.
Wow.
And then, so A Jazz Man's Blues expands Netflix's relationship with Perry, whose 2020 film, A Fall from Grace, was seen by 39 million households in its first month on Netflix. I'll tell you, I was one of them. I did watch this movie for Yamanika Saunders' podcast or live show, and it was truly nuts. Like, this woman beats this man with a baseball bat to kill him in a way where I was like, that's a pillow. That's not a person. That's a pillow you're hitting.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
There's just feathers popping out of the baseball bat as he swings.
Yeah, there was no Madea. It bummed me out a little bit.
Oh my God. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll jump into Medea's witness protection.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data, protect your online identity by hiding your IP address, and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform. Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
And we're back. Okay. Medea's Witness Protection, written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry, released on June 29th, 2012. So after watching this movie, has anyone's thoughts changed on Tyler Perry? I mean, we'll launch into our summary, but before we do, I mean, Langston, it doesn't seem like this was a good one for you to watch to get you on board.
No, I think that's fair to say. I did not become more of a Tyler Perry fan from this experience in fair. Any way, shape, or form.
I understand that.
Me too.
I will say I did enjoy, we were speaking of the bloopers, I did enjoy him talking to the person on the phone about the bidet and whether or not the bidet,
yes.
Making them explain a bidet. And that made me feel sad that I was laughing at it, because I do think that his entire gimmick is, what if a black lady didn't know what stuff is? And it's like, oh boy, I'm laughing.
That
doesn't make me
joke.
Feel good, but it's pretty
There's
funny.
There's always something when Medea, though, drops in the Tyler Perry voice, it's like really jarring. Like,
yeah.
Like she's like, I don't get it. Where do I go poo or whatever? And then she's like,
oh, I'm just kidding. I'm actually unemployed.
I'm like, oh my God. Can't imagine what that person was thinking on the other side of that call. Okay, so here's the plot of this movie. Now, George Needleman promises his son Howie that he will take him to his baseball game after he gets home from work. When he arrives at his Wall Street office, he is shocked to hear his boss, Walter, inform him that the company is a Ponzi scheme run by the mob. Walter tells George he's handing him over to the FBI as a scapegoat, since George is the company's CFO.
And that whole explanation was so wild, because it was like, they hired him or they promoted him so he could take the fall. And Tom Arnold was having a great time.
Oh, Tom Arnold killed it.
And then there's a very funny part where he's like still trying to talk to him and the chair is spinning because he moved so fast like a cartoon. Okay. Meanwhile, in Atlanta, Brian.
Okay.
Tells
maybe we did like this movie.
Well, I will say that I felt extremely frustrated with him walking in and being confused by everyone running for their lives,
yes.
And burning documents. And he's like, what's going on, Tom? And it's like, dog, read the room. It's
like,
it's
catch
happening.
Up. Yes.
Yeah. Like even the security guard knew what was happening. He's like, quiet day. And she's like,
yeah, not for
you're
me.
You're not going to like it. Quiet
like, I wouldn't
like
say
this.
That. Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Atlanta, Brian tells his boss that he thinks that the Malone crime family is running a Ponzi scheme, and his boss tells him to investigate. After Brian tells his boss he knows George's company is running a Ponzi scheme, his boss tells him to take George into custody.
Medea gets into her car after grocery shopping and is unfazed when she finds a man in the backseat trying to rob her. Now, this is what I thought we were going to get more of. Like,
yes.
She drives the car frantically, jolting him around until she is able to unmask him. And she realizes it's her pastor's son, Jake. Jake later confesses he's trying to recover church funds that he has invested in George's company without his father's knowledge by robbing elderly women.
What a bad plan. So back in New York, the FBI takes George into custody and tells him that they'll be putting his family in witness protection because the mob has already threatened George. Brian's boss tells him that he'll need to find a safe place in Atlanta to house the Needleman family. Brian goes to Medea and asks if they could stay with her, which is not, I don't think, how witness protection works.
No, you don't just move in with a random person.
You don't just get to pick a person. And furthermore, you don't get to pay them $4,000 a month for five people. That was wildly disrespectful how little Tyler Perry, like, even thinks poor people value things. Like poor people don't know what five people are worth.
Mm-hmm. Yep, $4,000, less than $1,000 per person.
Crazy.
Medea changes her mind because she's like, ooh, $4,000? Brian arrives with the Needleman family and they start to settle in.
And even that, like, nothing happens. Like,
no.
You want, like, there's room for comedy. The idea is good in that, like, you bring this family to live with Medea. It's like, there's enough that could go wrong. It doesn't feel like anything really does. Like, the kids are annoying.
Uh-huh.
What? Like the daughter hates Denise, which we haven't heard about yet. This who's her stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, always screaming at her. And, like, their relationship is awful. But then there's kind of no payoff to that.
No. I think the better option would be, like, instead of having your B storyline with the church or whatever, have the crime family try to get them in the house, like have them find them.
Yes, like some hijinks in the house.
Well,
like,
yeah. there is that one moment where a man with dark hair drops off a what I thought was going to be a bomb.
Same.
But then just ended up being a sternly written letter being like, we'll kill you and there's a rat in here. And then nobody understood what it meant. So they moved on.
Yeah, so this summary has not mentioned that there's like the... Eugene Levy's mom is a woman with like dementia or like Alzheimer's or whatever.
Which is hilarious.
I mean,
undeniably a funny disease. Can we all agree on that?
We need to stop with that. Like, I'm like, yes. I can't keep watching this character happen in things over and over again where it's like funny that they don't know who anyone is or like what's going on. It's not funny. And there's a point where she's like, a man gave me this letter or whatever. And they're like, yeah, right, grandma. You know, everyone's like, she doesn't, because even the kid was like, she doesn't even know who I am. She doesn't know where
we
are.
Yeah, right, you like, brain dead bitch.
It's so mean. There actually was a man in the yard. And like, then that wasn't anything where it could have been something. Like, it could have been a Home Alone esque.
But then they saw the man in the yard they like sort of waved him off.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to like not follow up on the fact that like a mob is trying to kill them.
Yeah.
It was like the danger and like the good idea was at the front door and they're like, we're not answering it. We don't want action. None of that.
So the next day, George tells the prosecutor's office that he had no knowledge of what was happening at the company. Brian offers to help George and tells him to look through all of the documents that were not shredded at his company to find where the numbers are off.
I gotta say, Brian is confusing because I know he's a lawyer, but I was like, do lawyers arrange witness protection? I don't think so. He's like so involved with this family to a point where I'm like, no.
Also, like, isn't it? That's what I didn't understand. I feel like there wasn't enough explanation about what witness protection is, but maybe they didn't even know when they were like doing this. But like, I thought like, so is he is officially innocent, and isn't it where like the government helps you hide?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So in the movie, it's a lawyer being like, go live with Medea, which isn't really witness protection. It's just like running from the law.
It also involves a name change. It involves document changes, none of which were ever addressed in this.
Nope.
They literally just were like, all right, you're going to stay at a different house now. And guess what? Black people.
And they still found you and brought the letter to your house or whatever. It's like, you are
almost
not
the first
hiding
day.
Well.
Yeah, it didn't work. So then you'd have to move.
Yeah,
literally
you would have
the
to
first
start
day
over.
Is when they showed up with the letter.
It's like, we got you. Rat. Yeah. The dead rat. Oh my God.
So George's mother, Barbara, mistakes Medea for a maid named Sadie and claims she recognizes Joe as a man she slept with years ago, the man on the boat. Joe doesn't believe her at first, but then he realizes they actually slept together while he was in the army. He also realizes that he might be George's father when Barbara tells him they slept together 53 years ago and George is 52.
I can't. Okay, there's so much about this that's insane. He was, so Joe, for anyone who's listening and hasn't watched this, is Tyler Perry as a character, Joe, who we have seen, Uncle
what?
Joe.
What if I was surprised?
You're like,
what?
I thought that was an old man. And he has yellow teeth that are the color of butter. Like they are fully, which is kind of funny. But he fights her on this over and over. I don't have a boat. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about. Cut to, yeah, you did go on a boat. Like, it's like, if you had any experience being on a boat, you can't say you don't know what they're talking about with a boat.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that was rude and kind of dragged out the whole thing forever. Then he starts calling the grandchild his son or something. Saying you're my grandson.
Yeah.
It gets complicated for sure.
It was very confusing. And then also I was like, there's no way Eugene Levy is your son. You know this.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that Joe was Brian's dad.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm so glad you're saying
Wait, who's Brian?
Brian is Tyler Perry as Tyler Perry.
Stop. Okay, yeah.
So that's his dad and Medea is his aunt. Now, I will say that throughout the film, I felt a weird sexual tension between Medea and Joe the entire time.
Yes.
yes. Medea and Joe do have sexual tension.
But it's so weird because they're siblings, I think.
They're siblings, that's right.
Okay, but that has not been made clear, I think, in any movie that we've... I don't know.
No, this is the first time where he was like, Dad, and I was like, oh...
But that's why you're always around.
And that's why you're always defending Madea, because Madea is your aunt.
Oh, wait. So this wasn't the introduction of Tyler Perry as Tyler Perry.
No.
Well, this character is different than the characters he's played in other movies, I think. He plays a person without a costume on.
But I think he's always Brian. Like, if Madea goes to jail, he's Brian as the lawyer.
Oh, my God. Is he Brian? This is so funny.
You guys have dedicated a season to this, and you're 12 in, and if you're just now discovering this.
Dude, you don't understand. We don't understand this family tree at all. We have tried to make sense. There are points where you go, wait, oh, that person's dad. Like, this happens mm-hmm. every time. Mr. Brown, who's a character who appears mm-hmm. in many things,
sure.
apparently is the dad of the woman who's always with him, whose name I can't think of, Cora or something.
Cora, yeah.
And then she, in real life, is married to him.
Uh-huh.
And he's the same age as her, but he just has gray
on him to make him look older because that's her dad.
And then her husband her dad?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Tyler's so a sick fuck. This is gross.
But then we thought Cora was Medea's daughter, but then... Oh, wait, no. Cora is Medea's daughter, but then her dad isn't her dad because of the Maury bit at the end of...
And that was like a gag, though. That's like a gag. Like, at the end...
Is it not part of the cinematic universe? Like, is it questioned?
It is, like, true, but it's like, it feels like it was just to be funny, but then it's like, well, now we have to go with that as being true. So, okay... Ferris, our producer, is telling us that Brian is a supporting male character throughout various films played by Tyler Perry himself, Medea's nephew and Joe's son. He's a lawyer and is usually getting Medea out of jail. Wow. This is fascinating. Now, this is part of the thing. Like, things move so fast.
Yes.
There's so many things happening and you can't keep track of basic facts. Like, I did not get that at all. And I mean,
because it's
literally
one line
attention.
Where he's like, Dad. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So Medea and Joe, because I thought in previous things that they were a couple.
Medea and Joe? But
there is that moment where Joe first wakes up in the morning and Denise Richards is doing yoga in the living room. And Joe is sort of what appears to be gawking at her
yes.
very mm-hmm. sexually. And then she goes, are you staring at me? And he's like, no. I see something else, and he looks, and you look past her.
Yes,
and he's staring literally down Medea's butthole,
he's like, I see some big hippo ass or like something. Mm-hmm. He's something like really offensive, and then she's like, "That's mean." But it's like, why are you staring at her ass?
At your
it's
sister's confusing. Butt? What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
It is very confusing because for a very long time I thought Joe and Medea were together. And then I was like, oh no, they're brother and sister. And then they each have a kid.
Well, the idea now that Brian, because Brian, I think, was also in, was he in Daddy's Little Girls?
No. Brian was in Why Did I Get Married, but not as Brian, as a doctor.
See, that's what I'm saying. So it's like we have Tyler Perry as basically Tyler Perry. Playing different characters, but sometimes he's Brian.
Uh-huh.
But there's no, like, nuance to that.
I want them to put that in the credits.
Sometimes Tyler he's Perry Brian. Has,
sometimes he's Brian.
Like, directed by Tyler Perry, written by Tyler Perry, and sometimes Tyler Perry is Brian. It's a lot to keep track of. I feel like there must be a family tree somewhere online that we could be looking at. Like, someone's got to have made this.
I hope so.
Can I ask, where in terms of your preferences does this lie? Like, what is the best of the Tyler Perry films?
Ooh,
or the Madea films? Let's be more specific. What is the quintessential, this is the one you got to see Madea film?
I think Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yeah. That was the best one. Yeah.
It's truly incredible. There's a scene that I've shown to several people where it's Medea typing on a calculator.
That's
and
the
I've seen
thing.
It so many times that like there's a like just a like a split second where Medea's about to break, but then keeps going with it. And it's so funny.
Okay.
Yeah. Medea has a lot of bits in that one. I feel like that like Tyler Perry was the most confident because that one was a play, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how he got his start. I feel like it was like that one was really huge.
That was his big one. Yeah, that was the moneymaker.
Yeah, so then like there's that confidence with this Madea, like because Madea does a lot of like bits in that movie that are just like straight up, he's probably improvising for 30 minutes. Like I feel like with like he's just going and he's so confident. Like when he's in the closet and he's like cutting up all the clothes mm-hmm. and stuff. That one is, that is the funniest one and the one that got us most on board.
And Tyler Perry had something to prove because people hadn't let him, you know, make a movie and he was like, I can make money back. So I think he like threw his all into it and he's really just doing a lot as Madea and it's delightful.
Sure.
But then it's like that, that is what got us excited. Like the type of craziness mm-hmm. that happens in that movie, because there's also like huge drama. Like Madea is funny, but from time to time, you know, uh-huh. and for the most part, it's like there's a man dragging his wife across a marble floor, you know, like just like crazy, horrible stuff, or like a woman pushing a man in a wheelchair
in a way where you're like, I don't think there was a stunt coordinator.
Doesn't she? At one point, after she finally almost gets redemption, let him like drown in a bathtub because his legs don't work and arms don't work anymore.
And then she. Like nurses him back to health, but then dumps him. It's mm-hmm. it's truly just it. Yeah, it makes no sense. That's
and
what,
then
Madea
kicks
it.
In a door with a gun in her purse and goes, "Who's drowning up in here?" And like, okay, I guess. What is this film?
Right. Yeah, and then that sets up things like The Oval, where it's like, okay, Tyler Perry believes anything is possible.
And anything is possible on The Oval.
And I like this. But like then it's like, I need that from every single project. I can't have some of these be like phoning it in a little bit. Yes. And this one just feels like
it. It did feel like it was phoning it in. I got to say, on The Oval, two women catch up on like a stoop and she's like, I have had a day. She's like, tell me about it. She's like, well, you know, a girl up in my house shot herself. Yes. And then they found the knife on my son. You don't say. No, a knife? Yes. Well, the president, oh, he's sleeping with somebody. Oh, really? And the way they catch up, I was like, this is not.
Nope.
Just like silly gossip.
Everything you've said is life altering stuff. And it just happened today.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no.
Ooh-wee, what a Thursday.
Someone killed themselves in my house. Okay.
Oh, we got to get through this.
Let's keep going. Yeah.
Summary. Okay. So George arrives at Medea's to find Katie fighting with his teenage daughter, Cindy. Later, when Madea grows tired of Cindy's disrespect, she tells Cindy that her whole family died to make her feel regretful about her behavior towards them. George, Katie, and Howie arrive home to find Cindy crying hysterically. This is wild.
That part was so ridiculous. And it still wasn't ridiculous in the way that I wanted. Like, basically, the teenage daughter who's annoying comes home, and then Medea's like, who's your dad again? He died or whatever. Like, I don't know. It was like said in like a really crazy way. Uh-huh. And then she's like crying and freaking out. And then he walks through the door and she's like, dad, and it's over. And that was supposed to like make her a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was her redemption song was finding out that her entire family had been murdered on a highway accident. And then for some reason, the chubby little boy who really didn't do anything bad to anybody in the entire film, was, I believe, mauled to death by animals. I think that was a story that Madea had cooked up for the dead child. And it was enough for her to now be like, I love my stepmom and stepbrother or half brother or whatever this is.
Yeah. And he was a sweet character. He basically had nothing that was even making him annoying. He just was like trying to be related to that person. And
he just wanted to play baseball.
Yeah, he was very bad at baseball, but also tried his best. And like, who's mad at that kid?
Yeah. So during a sermon at the church, Pastor Nelson inspires George to recognize a pattern in his company's records that explains where 10% of the stolen funds have been stashed. He decides to involve Madea in a plan to re-divert funds from these stashed accounts back to the charities whose investments were stolen in the Ponzi scheme. When George and Jake share their plan with Brian, he advises them it's illegal.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't hear that. I'm a lawyer and I didn't hear that. And they're like, we're going to do it anyway.
And like, why? Like, why even talk to Brian?
Yeah,
I don't know. Also, in this plan, they are undercover in a way where like Eugene Levy's wearing this like little mustache and a beret. And I was like, nobody knows who you people are. So who are you what?
That is such a good point. Like, there's no need to wear that. And also, you look more suspicious because you have a fake mustache and a beret on.
And you're coming in and out of a French accent. You guys haven't even decided what your names are. So you rarely refer to each other as anything but your actual names. That would be triggering for somebody looking for you.
And Medea, like, uses her. So Medea is supposed to be this character. What was the name?
Precious Jackson.
Precious Jackson.
And when they get to the hotel, she like is saying she's related to the Jacksons. Like, she's like, if Tito calls, I'm busy or whatever. I'm like, okay. That felt like Medea just running loose with that one for a while. But when she says she has her ID and here it is, like, she offers it up to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confused about that because I was like, she has a real ID that says Precious Jackson.
Well, I think that's from them watching Ghost and then being like, oh, we can do a fake ID. But it's like, how does Medea know how to do fake IDs? That's not been established yet.
I did not understand that. Yeah, and that felt.
They literally just did everything that was in the scene in Ghost, but without explaining how they did the stuff in Ghost. Like, Ghost does the legwork and like helps us understand it. And they were like, no, they already did that. We'll just show the movie and then do the same.
That's so funny too, because that's definitely Tyler Perry writing it and going like, oh, it should just be like how they do it in Ghost. Okay.
We'll just show Ghost. Okay, so we'll show Ghost.
Like, it's so lazy to just jump to that without explaining anything. I think that's hilarious. Okay. So here, the plan requires George, Jake, and Medea to travel to New York. Medea assumes the identity of a rich woman named Precious Jackson, meets with a bank manager. She transfers funds from the laundered accounts to legitimate charities and also transfers some money to her real bank account, unbeknownst to George and Jake.
And I gotta say, this was like unfulfilling, not as fun as Ghost. And
no,
he like watched. So we had to watch a little scene from Ghost, but then I was like, but then you didn't put any jokes. Why didn't we just watch? Why didn't you just recreate the scene from Ghost?
The scene from Ghost is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you're going to recreate that and not have it be funny or like parody it in some way. Like, there was no, like, it's mostly just like, oh yeah, remember how they did that? We'll do that. Like, there's no like creative license to it, which would be fun.
But it's also funny that he decided to do that, but then there's a ghost in Ghost. And that's the humor of the scene. It's not just switching accounts and stuff.
It's not just you get sit down and lie. It's that there's someone in your body making you say and do shit. It's like, that is what makes it funny. Like, it's not funny to just sit there and go like, and put some in my account too. Gotcha. Like, it's like,
what's even more fascinating is you brought Eugene Levy all the way to New York. Mm-hmm. And so in theory, he could be a part of this.
Yes.
But instead you left him in the car to like riff with Lil Romeo. While you go in and do the least Medea thing that exists in all of Medea land.
The like fact, though,
she plays it
so
straight
right.
for once.
Yep.
She's as serious as can be. The fact that Eugene Levy is wearing that getup, but we don't see him do anything in it. He could be sitting there improvising with her and making it seem obviously like it's fake, but they get
like
away
with
it.
They're a married couple or something. Yeah. Anything. Yeah. But yeah, Medea just truly walks in and is like, we need to transfer accounts. Yes, I'm Precious Jackson. Okay, thumbs up. It worked. She literally thumbs ups like as she leaves the bank.
And the man is trying to fuck her as they're like walking out. He's like, couldn't be harder for Medea and or Precious Jackson as they're leaving because she was that charming in the bank. It's like, this is crazy. You're not even following the rules.
Well, after they pull off their plan, Brian informs George that his cooperation with the authorities and successful efforts to return charity funds have given Brian leverage to dismiss the charges. Before returning to New York, the Needlemans visit Pastor Nelson's church for the last time. Pastor Nelson and Jake burn the mortgage papers, and the entire congregation celebrates the mortgage being paid off. Medea also celebrates her new wealth. What a lackluster ending.
It really was. And also it made me think, like, why do churches have a mortgage? Doesn't that seem wrong?
Yeah, like, but they're not taxed. I know that. So,
someone still has to own it.
I guess it should be like
you personally can own the building. You're not being taxed for, I guess, whatever work that you're doing and income that you bring in, but the building is not necessarily like granted to you by the government.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense that religion is not connected to the government in that way, but it still seemed weird that they were like so happy there was no more mortgage. I was like, I've never thought about a church being like owned by the bank.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the important thing is that we remember the key to writing a good film is ending on the B story. You really want to go out right on the B story.
It is so wild. Like, the mob doesn't say, where's our money?
Nobody
the mob doesn't
cares.
Come through. They're just like, oh, I guess we don't have money anymore.
They literally go, the boss decided he's going to snitch on the mob, so you're safe. And then nothing. It's just all clear
from
there.
That's so funny. It's so true. Oh, my God. Okay, well, we have a little trivia. So this movie is the first Tyler Perry film nominated for a Razzie. Now, I don't know if that's because it was the first one of the earlier films or if it was just because I feel like we've read about other Razzies. One of the few Madea movies not adapted from a play, and with a total box office gross of $66.9 million.
God damn.
Madea's Witness Protection is the third most successful Tyler Perry movie after Boo, A Madea Halloween, and Madea Goes to Jail.
Can I tell you guys a funny story about Boo, A Madea Halloween?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I years ago wrote for Chris Rock for the Oscars. And when we did that, we did a parody of Tyler Perry called Boo. That was just us making fun of Boo. Like, we're not making fun of Boo, but making fun of Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry saw that and then made Boo off of us making fun of Tyler Perry.
This is amazing because Tyler Perry cut you a check?
He did not bring it up once. There was never a phone call. And I've talked to Chris. It wasn't like he was like, yo, I saw that, I'm going to do it. And it just truly was him being like, I don't know, that's a pretty good idea. And then went and did it.
Were you shocked when you saw like the ad for Boo? Like, were you like, what the fuck?
You know what? It was so dumb as a pitch that it never even crossed my mind. For a second, I started to question, like, yo, did we just redo his shit? Like, did we do his version of Ghost to Madea's Witness Protection? Like, it blew my mind that that's how he does business. So, no, it was spectacular.
I love that you were involved with that. We've mentioned that before on the show, and we learned that Chris Rock was given the opportunity to direct like a Saw movie as like payment for that from the studio.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
It's wild. What a wild just series of events.
To truly see someone making fun of you and be like, fuck it, I'm going to make that a feature film is... It's a flex. I'll give him that.
It's so confident.
No, it's so petty. It's like, oh, you're gonna make fun of me? Great. I'm gonna make so much fucking money off of that idea.
Yes.
It's more money successful than
any Chris Rock film. More money than any Saw film is ever gonna make. He's gonna do it with Boo, A Madea Halloween.
Ugh, I love and, it so I mean, much.
He's got it figured out somehow.
So this movie was nominated for awards. We like the Razzie. Madea's Witness Protection received 5 Razzie nominations. Tyler Perry was nominated for Worst Actress as Madea. I mean, this was Madea's worst movie, I think, and worst director.
But it's just silly to say worst actress. But I mean, obviously, it's a silly award, but yeah.
I like that they don't know that that's Tyler Perry under there.
Yeah, right.
Imagine like, some people
she's
don't.
Bad.
They're like, this man, lady this lady's big. The film was also nominated for Worst Screen Ensemble and Worst Prequel, Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel.
Wow.
That's so mean.
But wait, it didn't win. It didn't win, so there was something worse that year.
That's true. So it's considered a sequel?
Or I guess. It's part of the universe, so I guess it's like a sequel to...
Or maybe they're saying worst ripoff because it's ripping off Ghost.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. The film currently has a 19% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And you know what? A lot of his movies do, but I would argue that they're better than that rating. Mm-hmm. But this one, it's not good.
No.
A critic from Entertainment Weekly wrote, George's son asks for Wi-Fi. And Madea says, sure, I can make you a waffle. That's one of the good jokes.
audiences like the film for the most part. It has a Rotten Tomatoes audience score of 66%. Its budget was $20 million. It landed at number 4 in the box office opening weekend with a final domestic gross of $66.9 million.
Damn.
I mean, he's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. And I mean, I think at a certain point that he's churning stuff out so fast, we're gonna have stuff we don't like. I'm honestly surprised though, because I feel like we've given him so much leeway. I feel like every week we come on here and we say Tyler Perry might be a good billionaire. He's mm-hmm. got some funny stuff happening. We like some of these movies, and then I feel like I'm so disappointed when like I should have expected this to happen. Like,
yeah, I truly don't see how you could be walking away with any of those conclusions based off of the person, the choices. None of this feels
I'm just
like
saying.
A-
watch The Oval. Watch Diary of a Mad Black Woman. You only have to watch a dinner scene in Why Did I Get Married? That's incredible.
That's the best.
Oh, and the airplane scene,
I've ever
in the beginning, which is also incredible.
Oh, that one's insane.
Oh,
but
wow.
I mean, we get brainwashed by this podcast. Like, you have to understand, like, we did all of Star Wars and then we did all of Lord of the Rings. And there were points where we're like, I think I liked that one. Like, you know, you just start saying like you mm-hmm. like things because sure. like it's like compared to the other thing that was really good, I guess, or like whatever. This has been such a like nice release, like from all of those like, you know, really boring mm-hmm. sort of categories of yeah. movies. Like, we're watching like something that's just crazy and fun. So our bar is low, but then like, you know, also that show we watched last week was not, it was the same.
Ruthless. We did ruthless. Not like Ruthless too much.
It just, because it's almost like there's too many, he does too many things. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, have fewer things that are as crazy as they are, and there's more success. I mean, I don't know. I think he just starts to throw things at the wall at a certain point, and it doesn't always work.
Well, yeah. I mean, he literally was, I believe they were saying that he shot some television show like 19 episodes in 3 days or 4 days, something like that.
Well,
like,
he did, I think it's Ruthless. He did Ruthless in, I think it's 14 days or no, 13 days, and it's 24 episodes. If I'm remembering correctly, which yeah, is
it's not
bonkers.
Possible.
No, but it is. If you and it's not the work of a good billionaire, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's a really great point, because it is. If you are a billionaire, you have all the time in the world mm-hmm. because money is no object.
He owns the largest studio in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's the largest studio in the world?
Yes. I think the physical space is the largest,
wow.
like, physical studio. It's larger than any of the others. And yet.
You know what it is, though? I think part of it is that because he wants to direct and write everything, he needs it to happen quickly because he wants to be doing the next project. Mm-hmm. If he were to delegate and hire people, he could have these projects take longer and be of higher quality. But he's like, I only have 365 days this year. So mm-hmm. 14 are for Ruthless, 15 are for Meet the Browns. It's like, we just have to go.
But I'll tell you this. I don't want him to spend any more time on The Oval. I love it. It is crazy. I watched 2 episodes since this woman's head got chopped off and we haven't addressed it really.
I love that.
I like the idea that you're like, you're going to be watching season 2 of The Oval and be like, I don't know. This felt like it took longer. I'm not into this.
More thought went into this. I don't like it. Boo.
There's a headline that reads, Tyler Perry's movie studio is bigger than Disney, Warner Brothers, and Paramount combined.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a goddamn compound where he keeps people there like slaves for 14 days churning out episodes and then releases them for $150.
I mean, it's truly so wild. I wonder what it's like to work on like a Tyler Perry series. We need to interview someone who's done it.
But here's the thing. We'll never get the truth.
No.
We'll never get yeah. the truth, because no one's going to say it if it was bad. And if it was great, we won't believe them. You know, it's just like a hard, I want someone to come on like anonymously and we'll like distort their voice. And they'll tell us like all the things that happened.
You got to get
all the labor laws.
You got to get
breaks.
Whoopi Goldberg to just come on and like do the sound modification and just really pretend like that's not her. That's in, you know, snitching on everything that she's been a part of.
I would love it. Oh my God.
Boy, I am excited to watch the next one though.
What is our next one?
I don't know. Like,
oh, but yeah, no, but well, that's the thing. It's like, I'm still excited. I, and this is where I don't know if I'm brainwashed or I just like the stuff, but it's like, I'm like ready for the next one. Like, okay, I didn't like that one. It felt so long. That movie was mm-hmm. like an hour and 45 minutes. I think it took me all night to watch it. Just like mentally, like it was tough to watch.
I had to do it in, I think, 4 separate parts.
I
had to break it up like the Snyder cut to be able to just take all of that in at once.
I took like a long shower in the middle just to like reset. I came back and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I just woke up rather early and then had to keep pausing it because I was like, this is so boring. No one's doing anything fun.
No, not at all.
I know. Like in the one we watched, what was the one where there's like incest and like... what was that?
That was Medea's family reunion.
That one was good.
Yeah.
Look how I just plugged it. The one where there was incest, that one was good. Like, I don't know.
But I mean, I cried at the end of it.
In a Medea film, you cried?
Yes. There was a funeral that was so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then they cut to like ridiculous stuff right after that with Dr. Phil or something. It was like truly nuts.
Wow. Wait, Dr. Phil makes an actual cameo in a Medea film?
And Medea Goes to Jail, it's the best improv I've ever seen in a film.
Okay.
Yes. I mixed them all up.
Really good.
I keep asking y'all for sort of, I guess, honest interpretations of what's happening. And then you keep using this hyperbolic language that makes it really hard for me as a person talking to you to understand what's real and what isn't.
I'm telling you. It's the best improv I've like. It's I'm not kidding.
You're both wonderful improvisers. You're
it's
both
honestly
very
impressive,
capable
though.
Performers.
I watched it with my mouth open. I was like, "This is so," and I rewound it because I was like, "This is so good."
It's really impressive, but you know. But then you think like Dr. Phil, what he does on his show is basically improv because he's mm-hmm. talking to like lunatics and like. Trying to kind of make them say crazier things. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like he is kind of naturally built for this, but
yeah,
I mean, there's really good stuff in these movies and we're not kidding. I mean,
do you think Dr. Phil feels bad about some of the stuff he's put out into the world?
I hope so. Because did you see that Bad Baby came out and was like, the place they sent her to was not okay.
Daniel Margosi.
Yeah. She was like, it's not okay. The way they treated the kids was abuse. And I was like, yikes. Dr. And Phil, I don't even know if he said sorry.
Yeah, but I will say that if you watch the video of her explaining it, it's mostly just that her being like, yeah, they told me when I could go to bed and that I couldn't leave. And it's like, yeah, bitch, that's kind of what you signed up for. Like, I don't know if that's abuse as much as you not getting your way.
Plus, she's made millions off of her appearance on Dr. Uh-huh. Phil, which is disturbing to say the
least.
It is
very funny that she has a whole music career that is wildly successful. She mm-hmm. got some bops. There's like one song, I can't remember what it is right now, that I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And it all comes from Catch Me Outside, How About That?
And I've quoted that a million times. I mean, it's a good catchphrase, I guess.
It's really, it's funny.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of our show. Langston, thank you so much for watching that film.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and having me do that. I'm grateful to have spent time with you ladies. I don't know.
Well, do you have anything you'd like to plug while you're here?
Yeah. Listen to my podcast. It's called My Mama Told Me. It's about Black people and conspiracy theories. Nicole has an episode. Mm-hmm. Lauren, unfortunately, you're not welcome on the podcast.
That's perfectly acceptable. But I've heard it's really good and I want to listen to it.
Oh, thank
Someone
you.
Was just tweeting about
yeah,
it today.
Yeah, it's funny and it's silly and super problematic. So you can listen to that. And it's with the Big Money Players Network. And they want me to say that. They're real emphatic about me telling you it's with the network and with there you go. And so I did
okay.
it. There we go.
Great.
Plugged.
You did what you were
I
supposed to do.
I love how you plug things. Ooh, so... Farrah says next week our episode is looking to be Family Funeral with Sashir. I mean,
I don't even know what that
so
is.
So many Madea movies.
Okay, well, of course it's time for our five hallelujahs segment, which everyone loves to hear me say. So
she says it every week and I laugh every single time.
It's like I always think I should pass it off to you and then I go, I'm in.
It's my favorite thing.
15 times now and it's going to keep happening.
God, I love it.
So this one comes from AK Big Dogs 907, Bad Wigs and Good Times. I've been listening since Star Wars, but the real MCU, Madea Cinematic Universe, is my favorite season so far. Nicole and Lauren's reactions to these crazy, hilarious, and melodramatic movies are perfect in every way. You don't have to watch the movies to enjoy the show. If you aren't listening, you should be. Thank you. And this one comes from Lord Jesus, 123. Dinner date. I have listened to this from the beginning, but this season got my girlfriend into it too, and it's just brought us together. So if you ever want to have a giant lesbian and a tiny lesbian cook you a home-cooked meal and talk about the Tyler Perry empire, please let me know. We will pay you for your friendship. Whoa. Wow, what an offer. You guys, please write more reviews. We'll pick more to read. They have to be 5 stars, so don't waste our time.
Wait, what a funny way to describe themselves, as if someone would look in your kitchen and be like, is that a big lesbian and a tiny lesbian? And they're cooking.
If they pay me, I'll talk to them.
I want to know what they're going to cook. That's my main concern. Well, give us 5 stars and we'll read you next time. Thanks so much for everyone who has been doing that. And we'll be back next week with what? Family funeral. Gonna be good. Okay, bye.
Gonna be good.
Was a HeadGum original.